Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Genesis 40, verse 1 to 23. And I would like to ask you guys to stand as we read the Word of God together. If you can, please stand with me. Genesis 40, verse 1 to 23. Some time later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended to them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand." This is what it means, Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, and just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being in the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top baskets were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." This is what it means, Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and impale your body on the pole, and the birds will eat your flesh." Now the day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Yeah. Have you seen? This is the word of God. You know, I love saying that I'm an adventurous person, you know, because I think adventurous people are fun. You know, and also sounds good, the word. I'm an adventurous person. Do we have other people there that, you know, say I'm adventurous? Yeah? A lot of you? Some of you? All right. That's great. My mom tells a story that there was a time when I couldn't cross, the Lilongwe River, you know, across the Lilongwe Bridge, because I was afraid that I would follow through the bridge into the river. Now, you know, I like saying that I'm an adventurous person, but I'm afraid of heights. Heights are not my thing. You know, a part of me want to see the world, but seeing the world, you know, I have to fly. And, oh my goodness. You know, I don't like anything about flying. When the plane is taking off, I don't like it. When there is turbulence, I don't like it. When it's landing, I don't even like it, because it's that feeling when it's going down. I don't like that feeling. But you know, there's this kind of like fear, this anxiety. And sometimes I would like be on the plane and be thinking, you know, what if we just fall into the Indian Ocean today? What if this guy is inexperienced? You know, kind of like these thoughts that I have to kind of like shut myself down on, let me not think about it. So I like to sleep on the plane so that, you know, I'm gone. You know, even though they say, I don't know how true this is, they say you're more likely to be killed by a hippo than a plane crash. I don't know how true that is, but obviously there is less, you know, plane crashes because there's millions of people that are traveling around the world and you hear of very few things. But, you know, I can become anxious on the things that I don't know. You know, I don't know the outcome. I don't know how this, you know, will come about. So I have this fear of the unknown. But you know what? There are times when you are anxious about something because you have experienced failure before in that area. You have experienced failure before in that area. Maybe you have gone through a lot of rejection or maybe a lot of failure or maybe you have, you know, experienced, you know, tremendous pain in this area. And because you failed before, then when you are faced with the same type of situation, you are filled with this, you are filled with this anxiety. So maybe your last relationship failed miserably. And now you have lost hope for a better relationship. You know, maybe you have, you know, the way you have lost the last five jobs, you know, has the last five jobs have ended miserably. And therefore, you have lost hope for the next job. Maybe you have sent 250 CVs or resumes to companies and you have heard nothing. And the next CV just seems to be pointless. Because you have experienced, you know, this pain, you have experienced this failure before. And there are a lot of scenarios that can cause anxiety. But today, I just want to pay attention to this one area. When we are being afraid to face our tomorrows because our yesterdays were filled with failure. Being afraid to face our tomorrows because our yesterdays were filled with failure. So today, for the purposes of this seminar, I will kind of like just define anxiety as the loss of hope for a better tomorrow because of yesterday's failures. Loss of hope for a better tomorrow because of yesterday's failures. In the passage that we have read, we see this young man, Joseph. You know, Joseph was loved by his parents but hated by his brothers. He was the 11th son, you know, and he had, you know, 11 siblings because altogether there were 12 of them. But you remember Joseph was, you know, a dreamer. And when he dreamed these dreams, he shared with his family and said, "Hey guys, I dreamed about this dream." Everybody was just kind of like bowing to me. And people were like, "Come on, yeah, you want to make a king among yourselves? You know, come on. You see yourself as a king here?" So they're like, "We're going to see. You're going to see what we're going to do to you." And first of all, they wanted to kill him. But somebody said, "You know what? Let's make a profit on this boy." So they sold him to Egypt. You know, they sold him very young. And, you know, he goes to Egypt and he finds favor with the Lord. He begins to work at the house of this minister by the name of Potiphar. But, you know, he worked there for a while and scripture says he was good looking. So the wife of his master wanted to sleep with him and he refused and she accused him of rape and sent him to prison. And now he's, you know, in prison, this guy who was sold into slavery, this guy who was wrongly accused of rape, he's now in prison. What does this do to your soul? What does this do to your heart that you would face all these injustices in your life? What does that do to your faith? Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you had a vision, you know, of some starting this great business that you want to help your family, you want to help your nation, but nothing seems to work out. Things are not working out as the way you wanted them to be. Maybe you are that faithful person at work, you know, who does everything, but in the end, it is your boss that gets the credit. In the end, promotions just kind of like jump over you and go to other people that you say, come on, can't you see? Maybe you're that person who's not being noticed and being given credit as you should be receiving. Maybe you have done everything that you can to raise your kids, your children, in the way of the Lord. But here you are with your kids that have not only just rebelled against you, but have rebelled against the Lord, and they're out. And you're like, I did everything right. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe you are that person who moves from one type of sickness into another type of sickness, into another type of sickness. You're back in the hospital over and over again, and you're like, God, just give me a break for just a year. Let me just enjoy life for just a year. What does that do to your soul? Going through all kinds of troubles, all kinds of difficulties, what does that do to your heart, and what does that do to your faith? But we see Joseph here, who has been faithful and walking with the Lord all of his life. And we see the Bible says, he says to this cupbearer after he interpreted his dream, he said, but when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing. I've done nothing to deserve this, he says. I have done nothing. Have you ever been there? When he says, I've done nothing. I've done everything right. But why am I in this scenario? Why am I in this situation? Why? This guy, he actually did wrong. He came and found me in prison. But now he's getting out in 3 days and he's going to have his job back. But I will not have my job back. I don't even know when I'm going to get out of this. That's what Joseph is going through. That's what he's going through. But you know what? It is possible. It is possible for us to go through difficult situations and to leave our hearts, our minds, and our souls in pieces. But it is also possible to go through these hard and crazy situations, but to have the peace of God. To have the peace of God. We can either be in pieces or we can have the peace. We can have the peace. You know, one amazing word that I found in translating to be, from this word anxious. This word called marimina, which means to be in pieces. To be in pieces. Because when you're anxious, your mind is divided. When you're anxious, your mind is divided. You're thinking of 1,000 things. And you have lost focus of what is actually important. And the opposite of anxiety is peace. The opposite of anxiety is peace. This togetherness of mind, or what we call single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. So maybe you have lost hope for a better tomorrow because of the failures that you experienced yesterday. Because of the failures that you experienced yesterday. But you know what? Even though our minds are scattered, we are anxious, we can choose that, when we are faced with anxiety, that either we're going to be in pieces or we're going to have peace. Because anxiety, is this noise that distracts you from paying attention to what is really going on the inside. It distracts you to pay attention to what is really going on the inside. Because when you look closely to what is going on underneath anxiety, maybe you're asking, what if I don't pass this exam? What if I don't get this job? What if I don't get a job offer after my graduation, which is actually a real scenario here in Malawi? What if I fail this interview? Underneath that, if you look underneath that anxiety, maybe you're searching for assurance and a sense of significance from your achievements and not Jesus. Maybe. What if I lose this job? What if I lose that house? What if I lose this relationship? Maybe underneath that anxiety, you are looking for a sense of assurance and significance in what you have and not in Jesus. And not in Jesus. Because the reality is, when people, we often, when we are anxious, we are saying, you know what? If I lose this thing, if I don't get this thing, my life is ruined. I'm done. If I do not get this job or that thing or this thing, if I don't have this thing, I am done. Because when we are anxious, we are more prone to focus. We are more prone to focus on what is visible than on what is important. We lose focus on what is more important, and we begin to put emphasis on what is visible. Not everything that is visible is important, and not everything that is important is visible. Because visibility has more to do with where you're focusing your mind. Where are you putting your focus? And it's amazing that when you look at the life of Joseph, you know, you're getting somebody who is saying about their reality, but you see their life even in prison. Hey, he's still serving God. He's still serving even in prison. These two people that came, it says that he was the one that was looking after them. He was still serving and doing that faithfully. And if you look in his life, even in Potiphar's house, he was serving there faithfully, and God blessed the work of his hands. God blessed the work of his hands because he knew something important. There is something here that is more important that I have to focus on, So what do you do when you see that, you know, you are faced with this anxiety? I know you are faced with this situation that will bring anxiousness in you. How do you react? What do you do? Verse 15 says, I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Number one, you have to recognize the unfairness in the situation without losing the faithfulness that keeps you through the situation. Now, you know, some people become so uncomfortable when they begin to look, do I have to recognize that this situation is unfair? Am I saying something to God? But you know what, as a pastor and a preacher of the gospel, I want to feel people's pain. I want to sympathize and empathize with people. And for us to truly empathize with someone, you got to have to look at the unfairness of the situation. You have to say, you know what, I feel your pain. You really have it rough. Is it unfair that you lost your job when you needed the money to pay for your tuition or to pay for that hospital bill? Was that unfair? I think it is. Is it unfair that you lost your dad when you were at that young age? I think it is. Was it unfair that your child was murdered because they were a person with albinism? I think it is. Is it unfair? I think it is. But in our troubles, unfairness is what's visible. However, the most important thing can sometimes be invisible. And that is the truth that we look into. That God is so faithful that he will stand with us even in our pain. Even when the situations look to be unfair, the Lord God Almighty, he stands with us and he moves and walks with us. Joseph says, I do not deserve to be in this dungeon. I recognize there's unfairness in this situation, but I know there's somebody else that will carry me through this situation that looks to be unfair. So recognize the unfairness in that situation. Recognize the pain. Recognize that it is hard. But do not lose sight that the God who is faithful will be with you in that very unfair situation. Amen. I love this verse from 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. He saw, for even though we might be faithless, but God remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God cannot disown himself. He will remain faithful even in the unfair situations. Our God will remain faithful. And the reason why you got to hold on to God's faithfulness is because your situations may change, but the Lord never changes. He cannot disown himself. He will remain faithful. He will remain faithful. And when we say God will remain faithful, or when we say God is faithful, what we mean is that God will stay true to his word. He will say what he says he will do. He will do what he says he will do. He will stay true to his word. Stay true to his word. Yesterday when I was chatting with a friend of mine, we were just talking about this, and I felt he said something which is really sweet, is we have to be reminding ourselves of God's promises, you know, sometimes to even write them down and say, let me remind myself of what God is saying, what God is saying. So search scriptures, search the word of God, and look into what God says, and look into what God says. It might be true that you experience failure in that area, but let us look to what God says. God says he will be with us. God says he will be with us till the end. So what are promises of God that you need to start believing now? What are the promises of God that you need to write down and be reminding yourself of his goodness? Be reminding yourself of his mercy, of his grace. So recognize the unfairness in the situation, but do not lose the faithfulness that keeps you through the situation. And this faithfulness is not coming from us. It is coming from God, because we might be faithless, but our God will remain faithful. Our God will remain faithful. And the second thing I would like us to propose, when we are faced with situations that would more likely rise up anxieties within us, is, I actually learned this from Tim Keller, you know, talking about this topic. He said, do not listen to your heart, speak to your heart. Do not listen to your heart, speak to your heart. Do not listen to your heart and mind, but speak to your heart and mind. Speak to it. Because your mind will be wondering, your heart will be wondering, how will this work? How will this be? What will I do? I'm so anxious. But you do not have to listen to your heart and mind, but you have to speak to your heart and mind. I want to encourage us looking into Philippians chapter 4, fantastic verse on this subject. Chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. Do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. I'm always encouraged by this when it comes to worry and anxieties. Because sometimes, I don't know if it happens to you, like you know, scripture says, do not worry, and then you find yourself, you worry, and you worry because you worry, you know? Oh, I worry. Oh, now I'm worrying because I'm worrying. And this passage is really, really helpful. So how do you speak to your mind and heart? According to the Philippians, pray thankful prayers to God. Pray thankful prayers to God. It says, do not be anxious, but let your prayers and petitions to God be filled with thanksgiving. This is very, very profound. Because what this saying is, as you pray, be thankful to God. As you pray, be thankful to God. You know, you're saying, God, you know what, I'm looking for this or I need your help in this area, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you that even though I may not get that, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that I will receive from you. But if you decide that you don't want me to have that, you want me to have this, I'm still thankful. I'm still thankful. Pray thankful prayers to God. And this is a prayer of faith. This is a prayer of faith because you are saying to God, you know what? I thank you. I thank you. I'm looking for this, but you know what? I just want to say thank you because you're looking at God as somebody that will give you that which is good. You say to God, you will give me that which is good. God will give us what we need, but this does not mean that he will give us what we think we need, but he will give us what he thinks we need. God will give us what we need, but does not mean he will give us what we think we need. He will give us what he thinks we need. So you say to God, I want to say thank you. Pray thankful prayers to God as you pray, as you petition God, as you ask God for whatever it is. Be thankful. Be thankful to God. Be thankful to him. But also this kind of like, you know, helps us to run away from those, you know, panic type of prayers. God, please do this. If you do this, I'll save you all of my life. Have you prayed those prayers before? You know, I'll do anything that you ask me to. And God knows, you're lying, yeah? You're lying. But you know what? When we are thankful to God, we come to him and we say, I thank you. You know what's best for me in this situation. So I praise you. I praise you. This then means our assurance and the sense of significance is found in Jesus Christ. That for whatever you're asking God for, if God decides to give you something else and not what you're really asking for, you will say it is okay because my sense of assurance and significance is not found in what God will give me. It is found in God himself. It is found in Jesus himself. So speak to your mind and your heart by praying thankful prayers. By praying thankful prayers. And secondly, you can speak to your mind and your heart by filling your mind with that which will build your peace, with things that will build your peace, with words that will build your peace. And often I think about peace as something that I will receive, but I will not really take part in it. I will not contribute anything to it. But this passage says something differently. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think, action, word, that we gotta participate, we gotta take action, we gotta let ourselves think about these things. And actually, he says in verse 9, put it into practice. Put it into practice. If you have a garden, and you want to have good crop, what you will do is you will prepare your soil well. You're going to prepare your soil well. You're going to put manure. You know, you're going to work it out so that it's ready. The garden is ready to receive the crop. And then in the end, you can have amazing crop in the end of it because your soil was well prepared. The peace of God comes in us. Comes in our minds and, you know, in our farms. But we got to prepare the soil of our farms by thinking what is pure, what is true, what is noble, what is lovely, and putting these things into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So do not listen to your mind. Do not listen to your heart. But speak into your mind. And speak into your heart. Speak into it. Speak into it and practice these things. And practice these things. It matters how you see yourself in a relationship, in relation to the relationship you have with God. in the relationship that you have with God, because you will be torn in two pieces if you do not believe that you really belong to God and God really cares about you. You'll be left in pieces, but you can have the peace of God. You know, we can have the peace of God because we have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have this relationship with God. And because we have peace with God, then we can have the God of peace, the author of peace in us, the author of peace in us. And Jesus is so lovely that he comes to us even in our pain. Now, when you go back reading into this story of Joseph, the cupbearer, and the baker, it matters how you read your story in seeing who are you among us the three. Who are you among us the three? Often we love to associate ourselves with heroes in Scripture. You know, David kills Goliath. Oh, I'm David. You know, oh, Gideon was afraid, but he trusted God and he killed thousands of men. Oh, yes, I am that person. Oh, Deborah, who led an entire nation. Oh, I am that lady. But often, we got to see ourselves on the other side. So who are you seeing yourself? Are you seeing yourself as Joseph, who serves God faithfully, even in his difficult times? Or are you seeing yourself as the cupbearer who goes and gets his job back, even though he messed up? Or are you seeing yourself as a baker who gets beheaded by the king? Jesus is our better Joseph. Jesus is our better Joseph, who not only notices our lack of peace because of the mess we have created against the king, but he offers himself on our behalf, that he gets hanged on our behalf, so that we can experience true peace. So that we can experience true peace. He is our better Joseph, who not only interpreted our dream, oh, you're going to be hanged, but he says, you know what? You have messed up against the king. You got it wrong against the king, and you're thrown into prison, and you're going to be hanged. But you know what? I know that you're distressed. I know that you messed up. But I am for you. I want to rescue. I want to give you true peace. And I'm going to create this peace that you're going to have peace with the king because of me. And you can have the peace that the king provides because of me. So he lets himself be hanged. When you look at the story of Jesus Christ, when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's heartbreaking. You see, Jesus Christ, you know, when he was about to face the cross, he cried and had sweat of blood. And Luke says he was in anguish and his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow. His soul was overwhelmed with sorrow. And he did all this so that he can gain on our behalf the peace of God. So we can have peace with God, and we can have this peace with God. And in the end, we can have an assurance and a sense of significance only in him. Not in the things that we will get or in the things that we have, but in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is all that we need. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.